blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 152, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee. In God I rest and praise his word, so rich and free. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 152.
To read from God's holy and precious word from the book of Acts, chapter 27, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmone, and, hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens. Nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship. And, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And, lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rubber bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, thou who sittest upon thy throne in thy glory, and who beholdest all the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth, and not only dost behold, but also dost decree and guide them, govern them in the way of thy holy providence, all for the safety, all for the bringing in of thy own people. As we have read, 276 souls, all numbered by thee, and recorded in thy holy book, each one of them lying under thy promise that thou hadst given unto thy servant. And yet so much fear, so much tribulation. O Lord, thou knowest where thy people are and how much fear does live in their hearts. Then they need faith. They need it all from thee. Else there is nothing but fear and despair, and they are without hope. O Lord, wilt thou look them up in this hour, where they are in their place, when they have come or may listen round about thy holy word. O may be with expectation, may be with desire, may be with no expectation anymore, and with such lack of desire, sighing for a sigh, and crying for a cry, and yet they are all numbered by thee. O Lord, could it please thee to look them up? And wilt thou show that thou dost govern all things for the welfare of thy own church? It is through much tribulation that they must enter into the kingdom of God, and they seek to avoid it. Afflictions, trials, troubles in heart and in life. And yet they will come, because they must come. If they are one of thy church, if they are traveling upon that narrow way that cannot turn unto the right hand or to the left, and then thou wilt keep their feet upon that path, and thou wilt spare them through that affliction, through that tribulation, from sin, from falling away, and I will bring them unto the end, where the expectation that thou hast planted, when sometimes they may believe, when sometimes they may hope against hope, shall one day be fulfilled. When they shall cross over that Jordan of death, and when they will enter into that land that flows with milk and with honey, oh, that they may receive eyes to behold thy faithfulness, that thou wouldst be unto them not only the first, but that thou wouldst be unto them also the last. And that thou may give a word of encouragement, and that thou may give them a little cheer, as we have heard out of thy holy book, and that belongs not to this world, but it belongs unto thy people, as a little foretaste of that rejoicing that shall be forever and forever. Oh, that thou may look upon them in this day, and that thou wouldst draw more into that number, and that number who will, through much tribulation, enter into thy kingdom. Wilt thou draw young people? Wilt thou draw children? But wilt thou not forget the older ones, those that do fear? As life draws closer and closer to its end, and when there is so much natural knowledge of thee, of thy truth, and when there is something yet missing, and that cannot be missing, O Lord, remember them also in times of old age, when the body breaks down, and when they feel that that day is approaching closer and closer, oh, that thou may give to them a cry to thee, and that thou may give to them that blessed hope that maketh not ashamed. Remember all that bring thy word. Remember the nations in which we live. Oh, we may acknowledge thee once again for what thou hast given in the United States of America. Then who of us would have dared to hope and that such a thing could yet take place in our days? But thou art God, and thou knowest and guidest all things, but thou knowest all that comes against it. O Lord, could it please thee to put away the devices of Satan, that thou would bring us back as nations to thy word and to thy testimony, that thou wouldst forgive that great load of guilt that is upon our hands which drip with blood. O Lord, that thou wouldest cause us to come to thy footstool, begging thee for mercy and for grace that is so undeserved for us as nations, and that we may be turned again, and that we may be brought to worship thee, the true, the living God. O turn our rulers, draw them by thy Spirit, give men upon the judgment seat who fear thy name, and bring us back once again to the service of thee through thy holy word. And wilt thou remember all the nations of this world? Remember all that are oppressed in this world. For thou dost remember the poor and the oppressed and the afflicted. But Lord, they are so many. We may enjoy a great prosperity. We may enjoy a great freedom yet. But there are so many that lack it. Oh, show unto them that thou art God. Bring thy word unto them. Give them also a little freedom from that oppression if it could please thee. But wilt thou bless the tribulations to bring in the nations from the east and from the west, and to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in thy kingdom, and leave us not behind with our children. When the greatness of the blessings are multiplied to each and every one of us, increasing the weight of our judgment, if we shall refuse to turn from our evil ways, from all of our wickedness, from the service of the world and the material things, from the carnal things, from the deadness and from the coldness of death. Oh, give a cry then to each and every one, and that we who are accountable to thee, and who must perish in that judgment, except that we are washed and cleansed and forgiven by thee on account of thy dear and only begotten Son. O Lord, look on us then. Deal not with us in thy wrath and hot displeasure. Remember all the weak, sick, all that receive treatments, all that have been in the hospital, those that recover from surgeries. Remember all the afflicted, widows, widowers, orphans, handicapped ones, addicted ones, those that suffer abuse. Remember parents, remember children, those that are married. Wilt thou give love? Wilt thou draw together and draw unto thee? Help us in this day, in this hour, in this afternoon. Thou who seest and knowest all, strengthen us for our labor. Fill us with thy Spirit. Give us matter in our heart, words upon our lips. Give us food for thy people. And wilt thou give that some may be plucked out of the fire? We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 233, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. O Lord, incline thy ear to me, my voice of supplication heed. In trouble I will cry to thee, for thou wilt answer when I plead, for thou wilt answer when I plead. 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 233. there, the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. The Apostle Paul's congregation was put into a ship. It does not say that he entered the ship. It does not say that he went into the ship. It says that he was put into the ship. You do that with your cattle. You put them into the truck. How is that, that Paul is put into the ship? Paul is a prisoner. And why is Paul a prisoner? He became a prisoner at Jerusalem. That is, by his own people. That was prophesied already of him, Agabus, that he would be delivered by his own people in Jerusalem over unto the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul wrote to Philemon, and he calls himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was not ashamed of that. To suffer on account of the name of Jesus Christ. And then those prisoners actually had no power over him, for he was a prisoner of the Lord. As a prisoner, Paul is put onto that ship. But when he was on the ship, then it became evident that Paul was the most free man on that ship. There was none so free as he. How is that? Was he then released? No. But Paul himself writes later that he who is called by the Lord, being a servant, he was called by the Lord, that is, children, young people, he who is converted by the Lord, being a servant, not a master, but he's under tribute, he is the Lord's free man. He's a servant. He is the Lord's free man. Do you believe that? Doesn't matter what our condition is here in this world. It only matters whether we are called of the Lord. Do we believe that? Let us see. With the Lord's help, out of Acts 27, the 25th verse. Acts 27, verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. So far, the words of our text. Faith in God. First, what faith believes. It says, for I believe God. And even as it was told me. Second, the hope. Faith works that it shall be even as it was told me. The hope, faith works. And last, the cheer faith brings. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Faith in God, what faith believes, the hope faith works, and the cheer faith brings. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Do you believe God? You say, yes, I believe God. But you are sitting comfortably in your bench. The Apostle Paul was not. Demas also confessed to believe God. But later on, we read that Demas forsook God. That's what was his profession. He came into the temptation. And we read that he loved this present world. Apostle Peter calls that the trial of faith. That faith will be brought into the fire. Paul was not sitting here in an easy chair. Where is he? He is in the ship. Were you ever in a ship? I used to go sometimes in a smaller ship out in the ocean when I was young, children. You want to make your heart beat? You may go out in a ship then, in a time when it is not sunny, and let those waves begin to go up and down a little, and then your heart will beat very, very fast. Paul was in a ship. Paul was in a storm. It is called Euryclidon. It is a violent agitation, a tempestuous wind. Paul's life is in danger. And in the midst of that danger, great danger, Paul says, I believe God. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a blessed thing? If we may say that in our life, not when we are sitting comfortably in our bench, but when we are brought into the circumstances of the Apostle Paul. Do you wish to have that in your life? That is true faith. They were not mere words. No, then it is evident in Paul's life that he speaks out of his heart. He speaks the truth. Who is more worthy to be believed than God? The devil cannot be trusted. The Lord Jesus says he is a liar and he is the father of lies. And yet why do we listen to him? And why do God's people listen so much to him? Because he begins to speak and then they pull him up a chair. The devil cannot be trusted. And men? Oh, can men be trusted? They do not always speak the truth. And they are also weak. They also often lift themselves up higher than they ought to, boasting themselves of more than what they are. Men. And yet we so often listen to men. They have ulterior, secret motives. And God? God is true. God is mighty, almighty. God is merciful. And God is faithful. His word is always carried out. And we do not believe him. He is good to sinners. And in us is unbelief. That is foolishness. That is wickedness. Paul says, how shall we believe in him of whom we have not heard? Have you heard of God? How have you heard of God? Say, I've heard of God through his holy word. Are you thankful for that? Do you believe that word? Paul says, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Thus, if we have heard his word, then something has been told us. Do we remember what has been told us? The word of God has been told us. That word of God has come unto us. That word of God is worthy to be believed. Do we believe it? Everything that is written in that word, did you find ever anything in that word of God that was not true? And we have just heard from Acts 27 of prophecy. Paul has said beforehand the things that were coming. Did they happen? They did. And in the rest of God's word, is that word not worthy to be believed? You say that word does not all apply to me. That angel of the Lord, he came unto Paul. And he stood by Paul in that night. And Paul knew that he stood there. And Paul heard the words with his ear. He knew that the Lord sent that angel and that the Lord sent that word unto him. But I don't know that. How then am I supposed to know? That is very true. That is very true. And that question that has also been the source of much concern for God's children. Because there are so many emotional mistakes that persons do make when they say that the Lord now, he has spoken this word unto me. Even as it was told me. Thus the word of God has an address. And a man must be conscious that he is addressed by that word of God. Do you know who it addresses? For example, it addresses the wicked. The wicked. Were you ever conscious of being wicked? That when you have heard the word of God addressed unto the wicked, that you say, that is me. Woe unto the wicked, for it shall be ill with him. Then the word of God was told you. Did you believe it? Even as it was told me. The word of God is addressed to the lost. Were you ever addressed? When the word of God has spoken unto the lost, did you believe it? I believe God. Even as it was told me. Did Paul always believe God? You say, not before that he was converted. No. How about afterwards? Did he always believe God afterwards? Well, this was not the first time that the Lord has come to the Apostle Paul, because if we go back to Jerusalem and we go to that castle where Paul is laying in that night, when the Jews want to kill him, he is being protected. And then the Lord came. And what did the Lord say to him? The Lord says, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also bear witness in Rome. The Lord spoke to him, not first on the ship. No, he spoke to him already beforehand. In Jerusalem, in the castle. Now Paul is on the ship. Now Paul is in the storm. Is Paul safe? Is he safe? You say, yes, he is safe. Who told him that? The Lord. Paul cannot die. He has to go to Rome. And yet, the Lord has sent an angel to speak to Paul. And the Lord said to that angel, you must tell Paul, fear not. Why is that? Oh, the Lord knows how difficult it is for his people to believe in the storm. Thus, in the storm, and when that promise of the Lord that he shall come to Rome be of good cheer, when that promise is tried, then the Lord is coming to his people. Is the Lord not good for his people? The Lord gives help to his people that they may exercise faith, especially in that storm. That brings us to our second thought, the hope which faith works. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Thus, it says, it shall be. That speaks about something that is going to be in the future. Thus, we have the distinction between faith and hope. Paul says, I believe God. When? Now? I believe him in the storm. But then, he speaks about something that is going to take place in the future. What he believes, that is something that is not now. And that is hope. So, faith, believing, very connected to hope. That is about the future. Because Paul writes to the Romans, he says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Thus, hope is something that is not yet seen. It is unseen. And what is unseen is doubtful, right? Is that right, young people? What is unseen is doubtful. That is what the world would like to say. The things you cannot see, God. Faith. All doubtful. What is real? Wood. Houses, cars, riches. So what is unseen is doubtful. There is certain truth to it. Judicially, then a judge says, well, you have not seen it. And if you have not seen it, then you cannot be a witness. Then I do not know, actually, if it is really true. And yet with faith, it is not so. Why? What does Paul say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it is the evidence of things not seen. The unseen evidence. So seeing is evidence, the judge says. We have evidence. He has seen it. He is a witness. But there is more evidence than seeing. What is that? Faith? Faith? That is, Paul says, evidence. So, seeing, that removes doubts. And believing, that removes doubts too. Paul says, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That is what makes God's people prophets. To predict the future. That is, because what God has told me is certainly going to come to pass. And what is now that thing that God has told Paul? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. That is his hope. That hope is the preservation of life, his own life, and the life of all that are with him in that ship. What does that mean to you? The preservation of your life. Afraid to go to the doctor. Pain here, pain there. What is he going to say? Fear. Why? My life. Precious to us, right? Very precious. Most precious. Skin for skin. All that a man hath, he will give for his life. And now the Lord gives to Paul a promise that concerns his life. And the life of all the men that are with him on that ship. If that is now so precious for our natural life, how much more precious is such a promise when it goes about spiritual life, when it goes about eternal life? There we have the hope. The hope of that true church of God. Thus the Lord gave to Paul a promise upon which his hope was based. That is the only good hope for the true church. That they are addressed in the promise of God. And now who was addressed here? In this promise. Paul. And all those who sailed with him. Do you sail with him? In the life of Paul. When did the Lord speak unto Paul? Paul says, this night that angel has stood by him. Paul had already warned the centurion, the master of the ship, already warned them when they were at the fair havens. There they were in that port, on that island of Crete. And Paul said to them, do not loose from here, from this place. Why? All this journey is taking too long. The winds have been contrary. It has gone against us till now. We do not have good winds, no. And we have entered into a very dangerous time of the year for sailing. Thus Paul has admonished them. He says there is harm coming. There is loss coming. But what do we read? We read that nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than Paul. The centurion was good to Paul. You read of that centurion that he entreated Paul courteously. The Lord influences him. Oh, the Lord can do that. Can make even our enemies to be at peace with us, the Bible says. But do you know what that centurion did not do? He did not believe him. Did not believe him. And he did not believe the word of the Lord that was spoken by Paul. Oh, we can be nice, we can be courteous to God's servants. That is good. But do we believe the word of the Lord that is brought by his servants? Oh, they don't want to go too far. They just want to pull out of this port by the Fair Havens. And they just want to go up along the coast a little bit further because there is Phoenicia. And Phoenicia has a much better harbor. This is not a good place to winter in all winter. It will be much more convenient for us if we can go just a little bit further. Not much. And then those south winds begin to blow softly, we read. And then they think that they have gained their purpose. They say, let us go. And they loose their from Crete and they sail, it says, close by Crete. So they are going just right up along the land and not too far away from that land. So they will stay as safe as they can. There is so much in the life of God's people that is not done by faith. There is so much that is done in their own strength, wherein she goes forward in her own strength, because the church is not initially satisfied just to escape with her life. That is not enough. But that church of God seeks to avoid overwintering in an inconvenient harbor. Thus, that church is looking for conveniences yet in this world. Not just to escape with her life, but she wants more than that. She wants to escape difficulty. She wants to escape trial. She wants to escape affliction. And that promise is fair. South winds blow softly. She thinks she has gained her purpose. But the faith of God's church that must go through trial. That is our last thought, but we want to sing first from 415, stanza 6. Who is he that fears Jehovah, walking with him day by day? God will lead him safely onward, guide him in the chosen way. And what follows in the sixth stanza of Psalter 415. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. Suddenly, the weather changes. Not the south wind, but the wind begins to come from the north. And we read that this ship is not able to bear up into that wind. Thus that wind comes then off that Isle of Crete. And that wind begins to blow them down away from that shore that they were trying to stay close to. They cannot bear up into it. That wind is too strong for them. And now what do we read? The first thing. That they have much work to come by the boat. Come by the boat. What is the boat? Well, hanging from that ship is a little boat. Or following the ship, tied with a rope, is a little boat. What is that boat for? Or if there are difficulties with the ship, shipmen can go down into that boat. And, that boat that is there, when they cannot approach land, and they have to cast the anchors away from land, and there is no port, then they can get to that land with that boat. And when that ship, has difficulties, then there is always that boat. And so the first thing we read is that they have much work to come by that boat. Because of the storm, that boat is banging against the ship, and it is soon going to be destroyed. They're going to lose it. And they do not want to lose it. Remember that the Apostle Paul has not yet spoken. There is nothing for these people to lean upon, to trust in, but that boat. When things will go wrong, then they have only that little boat. Thus, without the promise, that little boat is so important. And they have much work to come by it. They know the importance of it. They cannot just let it go. But how do we keep that boat from being destroyed? And we read that they take it up to them, into the ship with them. Now, there was not too much room upon that ship because it seems that that ship was already overloaded with men. But the importance of that boat. Much work to come by the boat. And then we read, they undergird the ship. That means, children, that they would take a rope and they would pass it and get it on the other side of the boat and they would tie it up together. Sometimes they would take a rope from the front end to the back end and tie them both together. What are they doing? They want to keep that boat from falling apart. It is made out of wood planks. And that turmoil, it is going to make that boat to come loose, tie it up. Do you know what that is, people of the Lord? In the storm, when everything begins to fall apart in your estimation, that you begin to try to tie it up, that you begin to try to tie it all together, oh, to uphold myself, to keep it together. But there are so many dangers. Because then we read that they become very afraid. Because the knowledge of those shipmen, they know about the Syrtis, the greater Syrtis and the lesser Syrtis. Those were two very dangerous places on the north side of Egypt and Libya. Very dangerous. Here they are called the quicksands. Thus, when that wind is coming from the north and they are being pushed away from that island of Crete, then those sailors know that they are going directly towards the quicksands. And they are very, very afraid of those quicksands because they swallow up the vessels. Once they come into them, they are in a quagmire and they cannot get out. And so we read that they strike sail, and that they put up that sail and they want that boat to go west. That is for them very dangerous too. Because if that boat goes west, they go not towards land, but they go now into that wide open sea. Very, very dangerous. So they must flee. They must flee from the quicksands. Oh, there are so many dangers in the life of God's children. Oh, they see so many dangers. Especially in that storm. Oh, when our vessel, the vessel of our life, comes in danger, and we are laid upon a sickbed, then we see so much. Then we see reality, and we see many things we did not see before. Oh, then the need of our souls, we are traveling to eternity. Oh, then we say, get away, world. Get away, devil. Get away, flesh. Oh, then we are also striking sail. Then we are fleeing. We flee from death. We flee from what we know is able to swallow us up because of that evil and that wretched flesh. That evil nature of my heart, they strike sail. The next day we read, they lighten the ship of what? Their merchandise, precious things. They brought them along. They were going to sell. They were going to buy. They were going to make money. The merchandise of the ship. And now all that merchandise loses its value. Loses its value. Why? Life. My life. Skin for skin. How much merchandise do God's children often have? I mean, not just merchandise of this world, but spiritual merchandise from which they become rich. They trade with it sometimes with God's people. I have received this, and I have received that. Here was an encouragement, and there was a text. And here was a visit, and there was a comfort, merchandise. And they go back and forth. Oh, that is good. That feels good. When they are sitting comfortably in their chair. But now they come in the storm. And then what happens? One by one, those things go overboard. Because of comfort, because of text, that is not enough. That is not something I can die with. Then the conversion of God's children, that gets shorter and shorter. It's one of God's old people said, I can write it on my fingernail. The next day they lighten the ship. The third day does not let up. Their fears increase. We read they throw out the tackling of the ship. What is that? The ropes, the extra sails, the extra anchors. It's all weight. Putting them lower and lower in that water. Perhaps even the arms of the soldiers that were for their protection. Oh, what are they seeking? To save their life. All the things that are not the most essential things, you see how it comes in God's children, in their life. The further that it is coming to the end of their life, to the end of their journey, then they are looking for that which is most essential. What is that which really matters? What is that that is going to bring me through? There was a theological instructor in the Netherlands laying on his sickbed. Students came to visit him. He said, what is now the smallest mark? The smallest mark of grace. That is what he was looking for. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Neither sun nor stars in many days. No light, not the least shining from heaven. It is all dark. It is all black. No more voice. My sins are more than I can count. My heart has failed for grief. Be pleased, O Lord, to rescue me. O haste to my relief. I cried unto God in the daytime, and thou heardest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest. And then finally, all hope that we should be saved, then taken away. And they cannot see it anymore. Impossible. It cannot be. The strength is gone. The wisdom is gone. They are at their wits' end. And then it is time. Then it is time for what? Faith. Faith. Then Paul speaks. Then the Lord comes. Then the Lord speaks. To give what? Hope. Cheer. sheer faith brings. Is that storm over? No. Storm is not over. But what is faith for? Faith is for the storm. It is not for after the storm, because then faith will not be necessary for the people anymore. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not to have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, albeit we must be cast upon a certain island.'" What is it? It is the promise of life. To whom? Paul and all that sail with him in that sinking ship, who despair of their life. Not one of them shall perish. Are you also in that sinking ship? Why does the Lord promise this? Do they deserve that, the people that are in that ship? Who are in that ship? Children. Who's in that ship? Good people or bad people? What do you think? Well, there are prisoners in the ship. They have been accused of crimes. Were you ever accused of crimes? Conscience ever speak? Accuse you of crimes? You know who else was in that ship? Sailors. Wicked sailors. Wicked, you say? Yes. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted. Oh, they saw how dangerous that it was. Even when they were standing close to that beach, they did not believe that they could be saved. Tried to get away all by themselves and leave that whole ship to perish. That is what they thought. Wicked men and soldiers in that ship. Wicked soldiers, what did they want to do? Kill the prisoners. Lest any one of them swim out and escape. Also Paul. Oh, who is in that ship? No. And now the promise of the Lord for everyone that is in that ship. Do they deserve that? They did not. Oh, did Paul deserve that? He did not either. You know who Paul was. He had persecuted that church of God. Oh, what is now the basis? So free. So free. All comes out of the good pleasure of the Lord. All based upon the merits of his only begotten Son. Who is Paul? Prisoner of Jesus Christ. It was for his sake that Paul must appear in Rome. The Lord does everything for his own name's sake. The recipients of his promise, they are receiving it from him, and because of him alone. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Yes, you say, Paul can say that. He believes that. But I cannot do it now with the faith of Paul. No, that is true. And yet, we read here that the 14th day, Paul took some meat and thanked God and ate. And then it says, then were they all of good cheer and also took some meat. Do you see what true faith in exercise does? That is so encouraging, that is so strengthening also to others that are in that storm. Solomon says, the heaviness of the heart maketh it to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. That is now what faith does in exercise. Thus, here we have cheer. Cheer in the midst of a great danger. Danger of their lives. Even as they are drawing near to the shore of an unknown land. That is what it says. They knew not the land. Do you draw near to? Some of us are older than others. Do you draw near to? After a life as a prisoner of Jesus Christ with the Apostle Paul, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by mine own countrymen, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, suffering pain, suffering weakness, hunger, thirst, oh, what it is for God's children. Through much tribulation to enter into that kingdom of God. Oh, Satan, always there, always something else. Weariness. Do you find yourself drawing near unto that land unknown? Actually, no, I say that wrong. Because that is actually not what it says. Actually, it says that they deemed that some land drew near to them. Do you understand that? The land draws near unto them. In that boat, it can seem so. Especially when you have been out in the open sea. And from your vantage point, then it seems like you are standing still. And that land is coming unto you. Are there those that feel that? That it is coming closer? You cannot stop it, can you? It is coming closer and closer and closer. Are there those that have ever sounded and found it 20 fathoms? And you sound again and you find it 15 fathoms. That unknown land. Those unknown shores, they are drawing near. Were these people safe in that boat? They were so safe. Who could be safer than they? Why? Because they are the objects of the promise of God. There's no one so safe as the people in that boat. And yet those sailors are so afraid. They know the dangers. They say we cannot make it. When this ship breaks apart, we are all going to perish. But Paul needs them. They're the sailors. Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Paul, what happened to the promise? Do you not believe the promise? You know what the contagioning says of that? Those who neglect the means, they do not believe God, but they tempt him. But now, the Lord knows that lifeboat has to go. That lifeboat has to go for all of God's children. And they cut it off. And it goes. And what is left? Say nothing. The promise. Everything else has gone overboard. And only that promise is left to sustain the hope of that people as that ship breaks apart with that violence of the waves. Some may swim. In the strength of faith, and some on the broken pieces of the ship. Weak. Hath he said it? And shall he not do it? Hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good? And so, we read, it came to pass that they escaped all safe. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Honey. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do remember thy people. Wilt thou give to rely upon thee? And what thou hast spoken unto them, wilt thou prepare them for the breaking up of the vessel? Though it be by swimming or by hanging on. Lord, remember us as a people. Give us to see that our life is short.
and that we go to eternity. Give us a holy jealousy of thy people who are lying under thy promise, that we also might know it, and that we may be given to believe what thou hast told us. Bring us safely to our places. Spare us in this week for one another. And may it be for thee that our whole life may be for thee. All our work, all our efforts, that it may be sanctified also in the midst of our congregation, to forgive and take away all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
31, stanzas 3 and 7. O thou that ever savest those whose trust on thee is stayed, preserving them from all their foes by thy almighty aid. Let me thy loving kindness see, thy wondrous mercy full and free. 3 and 7 of 31.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.